recording, maybe?
You're not on video on your website yet.
Not yet. He's going to start. He said he wanted to do that. He's working on that. He wants to tie the radio station in. It's just money.
Okay.
It takes money. And we don't have any of that. We need a secretary. We know all kinds of stuff. But we just cripple along, he and I and his wife and my wife, just doing the best we can. Maybe one of these days it'll be a world-class operation. Actually, it looks like a world-class. It sounds like it already if you go on there. But it's upkept by very meager means. 2 Thessalonians 1:12. The true purpose of a child of God. The true purpose of a child of God. That's what it's talking about here in the first 12 verses, really. Why do we exist? Why did God leave us here? I know tonight I felt really bad. And if I'm able to walk or crawl, I usually come here and teach anyway, because I know one thing. That's why I'm in this world. My wife reminded me tonight, you're too sick to go. And I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm still alive, and let's go. And she was going to drive me. I did drive because my head was spinning so much. I just sat there, and I was trying to do the tapes and everything, and all of a sudden the room just started spinning all around me. And I sat down and fiddled around a little bit and with my computer to see if my brain still worked at all that way. And so if I don't do things exactly like I'm supposed to tonight, you'll know what's wrong with me. My brain is still at home, at least part of it there. Greek, I've never been able to forget that all the way, so maybe I'll even handicap I can do that. Hupos. In doxaste. To. Onoma. Tu. Kyrio. Himon. Esu. En. Himen. Kai. Himes. En. Alto. Kata. Pain. Karin. Tu. Thiu. Himon. Kai. Kyrio. Esu. Christu. I wrote a note here about 1970, two somewhere around there. By our lives we can glorify our God by the way we live and glorify His name. I remember reading, and there was a movie called Wyatt Earp a few years ago, and it brought out some of Wyatt Earp's family's feelings. There were several of those Earp brothers. They were lawmen. And Wyatt Earp's father always used to tell him, boy, when you leave this house, he'd tell all the boys that. He said, when you boys leave this house, remember who you are. Remember, you are Earps, wherever you are. That blood is very important. Blood is all there is. Your family is all there is in this world. You know something? Wouldn't that be nice if for God, God's people, when they leave their houses every day, or even in their houses, that they would act like God was the master? If God was, they were Christians. Think about that. Christians. Remember who you are where you go today. Remember what your name is. A child can glorify his parents. Or he can destroy the name. A wife can glorify her husband. How can a wife glorify her husband? By respecting him. That's how. By doing everything that she can for him to provide food, honor him wherever they go in public. having clean clothes to put on. Sometimes wives work out in the world today as much as men do, though. By raising honorable children. Parents need to do that. Honorable children. How do you raise an honorable child? How do you do that? Honorable. You can name your child Timothy. You can. Did you know that? That means honorable. That's what the name Timothy means. Timothy. Honorable. You can name your children Faith, Hope, Love, Timothy, Titus, Isaiah, Levi, Jesus even, Jacob. But you know what the most important thing? It's not what you call them. It's how you raise them in this world. How you live before your children. We as members of New Testament churches are the espoused bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're His bride. Now, I can see which one of you are boys and which one of them are girls. Boys, girls. Okay. Now, husbands like their wives to be faithful to them, don't they? Isn't that what you desire, your wife to be faithful to you? And to honor you. And wives, how do you want your husbands to treat you?
Same way.
To be faithful and to honor you and to love you and to glorify your wife, and the husband glorifies his wife and the wife glorifies her husband. Alright? Now let's look and see what this verse says. Hupos means so as. Alright? Or in this manner. So as may be glorified to onoma. This word endoxaste, that means to tie on, to bind on glory. To make an ornament of glory. Make an ornament. Endoxaste. To bind on glory. To dress in a beautiful way. In a beautiful manner. To behave in a beautiful manner. It says, so as it may be glorified the name of the Lord. In It says, tol onoma, that means the name. And also, Jesus used, he said, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You baptize people in the name. You dip people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That word name, it means authority. It means also to glorify the authority of God, that God has given you as members of God's churches. To glorify the name, the responsibility that God has given you. The name to Kyrios. What's that mean? The name of the Lord. How can you translate Kyrios also? How's another way to translate it? In the Old Testament, Septuagint. Anytime you look, by the way, in a commentary or something, every now and then you'll see something like this. LXX. What in the world does that mean? What's that mean? Well, it's Greek letters is what it is. That were then used later as Roman numerals, but they're actually Greek letters. Lambda Chi. People say LXX because that's what they think it is. It's Lambda Chi. All right. What does that mean? It stands for something. When you read a commentary, when you see LXX there, you know what it means? It's quoting or referring to the Septuagint. The Greek translation of the Old Testament. That's what it's talking about. All right. Now, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the name Jehovah
equal
kilograms. All right. Kilograms. That's how they translate it. So now how can you translate this also here? The Jehovah of us. Just think about that word for just a minute. I keep trying to really drive this hard across these because I want you to understand this word Jehovah. The word Jehovah, people call it Yahweh or Yahweh, something like that. There is no way to pronounce the word, by the way. It cannot be pronounced. I want to show you how it can't be pronounced. Can you say that word? That's just like trying to say the word Jehovah. It doesn't work. That's why they didn't have a word for it. They didn't have any vowels in it. It never had any vowels in that word. It means he who shall become. That's what it means. Alright? The one who shall become. Now who was the becoming one? Why did God promise the becoming one in Genesis 3 and 15? Why did he promise the becoming one? What was necessary? Why did God have to become flesh? Why did he? Because we needed a redeemer, didn't we? We needed a redeemer. Well, look here. The redeemer of us, the Jehovah of us, the promised one of us, and then it names him. Jesus. Jesus. Literally, in Greek. In Spanish, Jesus. Jesus. Now, what does that word Jesus? By the way, the word Jesus and the word Joshua are exactly the same word. Joshua, that's the Hebrew term for Jesus. And any time in the New Testament, and there's called a sacred name Bible. And the people that really adhere to that, there's a kind of a cult almost that adhere to this translation of Scripture. Translation is the best translation that's ever been done. Mine. It's great in Old and New Testament. And in the New Testament, they will not speak the name Jesus at all because the name Jesus really doesn't exist. It's Joshua. Alright? It's Joshua. But what does that mean? Joshua. What does that mean? It means something also. What? He who shall become is Jehovah.
Anointed?
Well, no. Jehovah saves. That's what Jesus means, or Joshua. All right, Jehovah saves. So now look at this. Paul is naming and titling our God and Savior. Okay? The Lord, the Jehovah of us, even Jesus. Even Jehovah saves. N-E. All right? God wants to glorify himself in us. That's why we're left here. Alright? What are you going to leave in this world when you leave the world? What do you leave? What do you leave here? What do you leave in the world when you die? That's the word. That's what I was looking for. Everything. You leave everything. Because you can't take anything with you. But what really do you leave?
Memory.
What is the only thing you leave?
Memory.
But there's more than that. Back in Adam's time, what did Adam and Eve leave? Us. All of us. Adam and Eve was our mother and father. But just think about something for a while. I was listening to a great preacher here a while back. He was kind of just talking. And he says, when we come into this world, we come into this world as a being that has choice, that has been gifted with the most dangerous gift, choice. A dangerous gift. Because we can choose. We don't have to do right. We can do wrong. And it's all up to you. Nobody's going to, I tell you what, the worst parents in this world can raise a child But that child still has a volition, a choice. They don't have to go that way. The Bible says that God, well, actually it's not God, but man curses himself. You can curse your children for 7 generations. Did you know that? You can curse your children by your behavior and your ways. They'll imitate you. Whatever you do. They'll imitate you. Now, if you're a godly child of God, your child has a whole lot better chance in this world, don't they? But they still have a what? A volition, don't they? This man was talking about God giving us this volition. And as we come along through our lives and we grow and we experience life, I once time when I was a real philosopher, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, I thought I was smart for a little while. That's not what I did, got to earn my doctorate, you know. I was an idiot then. But I would sit down and I'd write things now and then. And I wrote this thing. A man is the sum total of everything that's happened to him and how he's reacted to it. Well, this guy quoted almost exactly what I said. A man is the sum total of everything that's happened to him and how he's reacted to it. You're. That's really an axiom. The truth that we can't get around. You do the best you can, and then you just turn them loose and pray for them every day. I was talking to one of our church members the other day. I want you to pray for her. Her name's Pam. She's been at death's door for the last 11 or 12 years, constantly. She has a terminal disease. She had a little girl. She always prayed that God would allow her to live till that girl was 18 years old. The doctor said, it's impossible. You're not going to make it. Roger went to with her to tell her goodbye and so long and tell Jesus I said hi so many times in the hospital intensive care. Well, she just kept on coming back. I was talking to her the other day. Sometimes God's got something for you to do. If you'll let Him have His way with you. We went to a wedding this last week here at the church. And I was wandering around after the services, and my wife and my daughter were impatient with me, and I had a purpose. And I said, what are you doing? They said to me, come on. Jehovah grabbed me by the arm, my wife grabbed me the arm. I said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know, but I'm trying to do it. Didn't I? I know what, I just knew that God had somebody that He wanted me to minister to that day. And I didn't know who it was, but He had a purpose for me. And I just felt that purpose, and I was trying to just see where I was supposed to go. I was just wandering around. Finally, I wandered and wandered and wandered and said hi to this person, that person. Finally, this man said, come on here, sit down, son Jim. Right by me, and she started talking to me and everything. Well, her daughter's going to be 18 years old in September. And she just walked away from God totally. It hasn't been her mother's fault, because I can tell you that woman has lived a godly life before that child. And it's broken her heart. But God has answered her prayers, because He gave her the time to raise that daughter. She said she's going to move out in September when she's 18 years old. She's going to go do exactly what she wants to do. Trying to have Roger talk to her and everything else, and just doesn't listen. Then I told her the story of my Uncle Bill, that was such a horrible person, a murderer and a liar and a thief, and he just absolutely mangled everybody he could in this world. My life, he almost killed me when I was a little child, and stole everything I ever had and sold it for wine. I hated him. And after I was saved, God put it on my heart to go talk to the jerk. And I went up there and told him he was going to hell, and I was really delighted in telling him he was going to hell. I said, "You know that I know you, you rat. You know, you're going to hell." But I said, "God does give you an escape path." And I told him about the Lord. Well, I didn't know that he'd heard this 70 years before that. Well, he was saved, and I was angry. My mother never did believe he was saved. He did start going to church after that. When I would go by, he'd give me money. I guess maybe he was trying to make up for what all he stole from me. And I saw a difference in his life. It was not very long before he died, just a year or so, something after that. My cousin, after my great aunt died, which was his sister, my cousin sent me a couple of Bibles that I read in those Bibles. These Bibles his father had given him. And his father's prayers. His father was a godly man. His name was Harry Lee Stewart. He was a godly man. And he gave him these Bibles, and he told him, "I want you to be a preacher." Instead of he was a drunk and a murderer and a thief. In and out of jail. Never got tried or even convicted or even arrested for murder. I found a man that he had murdered. He had cut another man's head off one time. Tear my hair out by the roots and my hair tight, my ears off my head and everything else. Horrible man. But his father prayed for him. I have one Bible that he gave him, I think it was 1902. It was saved in 1970. Something. It was in the 70s. His father was dead and gone, but God answered that prayer. I don't think what I told Bill had one bit to do with him being saved. I think it was his father's prayer. I think it was his father's life. And there was a difference between his life and his father's life. Last night, or the night before last, I ran across a little piece of paper that my mother had given me, that her father, grandfather that is, that's the one that prayed for her, his son, that was such a rat, and he was a saddle maker, and he drew this with a little old kerosene lamp or a candle. He drew this beautiful design, floral design that you put on saddles and stuff. Good old man, godly man. He gave his family a gift. He bound his life in glory so that could be carried on. There's a difference. His wife wasn't that pure and that good. But later in that life, which way did that son go that went so far the other way? To God. Because of the prayers and the godliness. And I sure it wasn't his mother witness that drew that boy to God. And I don't think it was me. It was the Holy Spirit and that old man's prayer.
God could have answered his prayers by using you.
Yeah. Also. Well, you know what? He wanted his son to be a preacher. Well, here I am.
Yeah.
I'm his great-grandson. I'm doing the best I can. We're supposed to be faithful. Bound in glory. You know, you can't. You do the best for your children that you can possibly do. Sometimes you're too hard on them. Sometimes you're not hard enough. I read a story about a woman here a while back. She was older when she had a child. Her husband died. She had this little girl that she loved so much, but she was so hard on this little girl. When they sat at the table, it wasn't telling the little daughter how much I love. "Get your arms off the table. Eat this. Pick this up. Do that. Do this. Your hair's not combed. Your hand's not washed. Your face isn't washed." She'd come in and want to kiss her mama goodnight, and her mother said, "Oh, you're dirty. Did you wash your face? Did you brush your teeth? I love you, mama." When she'd go out to school in the morning, she'd want to kiss her mama goodbye, and she wanted to tell her mama goodbye, and she'd say, "Stand up straight." One night, when she was going to bed, the mother was sitting there reading the paper, because she was a stock analyst and everything. She was reading and seeing what she was supposed to do and everything. A little girl came in there, and the little girl was standing over there, kind of scared, standing in front of her mother, and she said, "What do you want?" "I love you, Mama." And ran over and fell in her arms and kissed her. And then she went to bed. That night, God changed that woman. God changed that woman that night. After the little girl went to sleep, the woman got up. She started crying. She sat there and she started thinking about, you know, "I want so much for my daughter. I want her to be accepted. I want her to be good. I want her to be civilized. I want her to eat right. I want her to look good. I want her to smell good. I want her to dress right." But she said, "I treat her terrible." And my meanness may drive her away from all of that. It may make her want to go the opposite direction. Oh, she cried to God and asked God to forgive her first. Then she went in there and she knelt behind her little daughter. And she said, "Sweetheart," she said, "I know you can't hear me, but I've been hard on you all your life because I know that I'm older and everything, and that I may not even raise you, and I wanted to give you the best I can and everything. And you've always just given me love back, no matter how hard I've been on you." And she said, "Tonight when you came in to tell me that you loved me and kissed me goodbye, good night, all I could say was criticize you. I criticized you the other day when I walked down the street and you were out playing in the mud. And I said, 'Get up in there. Don't you know how much those shoes and socks cost and your pants on? Get up in there and get out of there and get in the house and straighten yourself up.'" And she said, "I humiliated you in front of your friends." And she said, "I asked you to forgive me for that." And she said, "I promise tomorrow morning that I'm going to be the kind of mother that you really need. And I'm going to change my life. And I'm going to let you be a little girl. And I want you to have the freedom and the love and everything that you need. I'm going to show you the right way. But forgive me for being so hard on you for so long and all your life." So as it may be glorified, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in ye, and ye in him. Boy, I tell you what, we can just look at ourselves with a microscope sometimes, look at ourselves and see how we measure up to Christ. According to the grace of God. The grace of God. Where does the grace of God come from? It belongs to God that comes to you by way of mercy, doesn't it? Grace means unmerited favor. The grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we glorify God? By being human beings. How many of you know what the name Lakota means? Or Dakota? Or Nakota? Or Anishinaabe? What does that mean?
Human being.
It means one human being. We say when somebody acts really bad, we say that acts like an animal. When the Native Americans, they lived in this country for a long time, ever since God divided the earth. When the Europeans came over here to this land, and they saw them here, and when they come and they try to make a contract or covenant or a treaty with them, and they break it, the Indians did not understand because they had sworn by the name of God and they still broke the treaty. They couldn't understand, are these people without God? Are they not human beings? Maybe they're some kind of an animal that just looks like a man. Because human beings are human beings. They are made in the image of God. They are little Christians. we are little godlings. You know, the old preachers used to say that when somebody went out and did things in the world that was wrong, they call them a worldling. A worldling. You ever heard that, brother? Worldlings. Well, shouldn't we be godlings? You've heard of a gooseling, haven't you? A gosling? The baby goose. Maybe we should be godlings. Just Christians. Now we come to a total different subject. In the second chapter, a horrific, terrible, scary nightmare, spook movie, a horror movie. But it's more than a movie, it's real. How many of you like to watch scary movies? You like scary movies? Well, you're going to get one right now. Except it's not a movie, this is for real. This is not a spook show. This is not a scary movie. What else they call those scary movies? They call them something else, but some other type of a... There's another term. Well...
Horror film.
Well, this is a real horror story. It's real. It's not make-believe. Erotomen. Day. Himas, Adelphoi, Hiper, Teis, Parousios, Tu, Kiryu, Himon, Esu, Christu, Kai, Himon, Episunagoges, Ep, Alton. Be ready for the creaking of the chains of hell. There used to be a movie, or not a movie. I used to love to listen to radio. I still do. I don't watch television hardly at all. But how many of you ever heard of the Inter Sanctum? The Whistler. Things like that. You can sit there and you can see in your mind. Books are really good. You can read and you can experience things through books and through words. Now God is telling us prophecy here. This is a real thing. This isn't a Frankenstein story. This is a real thing. This isn't the werewolf. This isn't Dracula. This isn't the aliens or whatever you want to call it, except it is alien. This is a real alien. Well, I remember when the movie The Alien came out, people would pass out in the theaters, rush them off to hospitals when they'd see some things like scare them to death when they saw that movie. All the, what do you call that stuff? Special effects and everything. This beast tore out of this guy's chest, just ripped his chest open, out come the blood and guts and everything, and this thing went zip, zip, zip all over the place, and it just drove people crazy. I mean, they couldn't stand it. But you know what? Satan is real. He's not a make-believe thing. Almost every horror movie has something about the personality of the evil one. But I'm going to tell you something. All the horror movies and everything else, they're nothing compared to this horror story here that's real. Epo-a-ro-tom-en. We interrogate you now, brothers. That's what the term really means, Baroka. It comes from the word interrogate. We interrogate you, brothers, on behalf or at the presence of. That word hiper there, it can be a preposition that means on behalf of or above. And as an adverb, it means higher or to a fuller degree. Here it's a preposition, basically. On behalf of. For the reason of teis parousios. We've seen this word here several times, haven't we? Parousios. It means, comes from the Greek, two Greek words, para and eimi. It means to beside, to be, to beside being. It means the presence of, it means the glorious coming of the Lord. Now, remember something. That help you. Remember something. That's the first time the Lord Jesus Christ came was at the cross of Calvary. You know, when he was born as a child. And even though he was the eternal God, he became flesh. And he lived among us. And then he died on the cross of Calvary for us. And for basically 2,000 years, we've had a church age. At the end of the church age will be the gathering together of us. At the end of the church age, the Lord Jesus Christ will rapture us up and we'll be called up away from this earth into the presence, into his parousia, and we will be with him. And upon this earth will come a tremendous horror story. Horrible. Sunday morning we're talking about second coming of the Lord too. We're in Revelation 2nd chapter. Well, after 7 years of tribulation comes the day of the Lord. This is when Christ returns in glory. But there's a difference. There's 7 years between the coming for his saints and the coming with his saints. Okay, think about that. Paul is trying to tell them that the evil one is coming and that the evil one will come before the great and final day where God wrests the world into his power and sets up Israel as a people and as a nation and as administrators in God's kingdom again. Now, brothers, on behalf of the presence of the coming of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, and of our epicene, that is, agoges. It means upon. Together, go. There is going to be a synagogue in the heavens. And it's going to be in a place. Every city at one time in the world, in the known world of the Jewish people, if you had 10 people in any city, you could build a synagogue. And the synagogue was the center of the worship of God. It was a place. It was a meeting place. That's what a synagogue was. This is an epicenagoge. Epi, what's epi? Epi means up or above or upon. Now, where is our gathering place going to be? Let's erase this here. This person here, whoever put that up there, has taken away half of my whiteboard, I guess is what you call it. Here's the earth, okay? Good old earth. All right, gay. Greek. That's it. Good old earth. Well, the Lord is going to come back one of these days and call his people up. And he's going to take them up into heaven. Alright? He told his church, and he had angels tell his church, and he said, if I go away, he said, I'm going to build you a homing place. I'm going to make a home for you. The Bible talks about the city foursquare. It has streets of gold. And it's streets of gold. Streets of gold. And the walls are just precious jewels. And the gates are pearls. Beautiful place. Now, we're talking about a horror story. Horror story is going to take place on the earth. The streets of gold is going to be up there in heaven where God's church is. There was a woman one time who wasn't ready for Christmas yet. And she didn't have the spirit of Christmas in her at all whatsoever this year. She had been so busy at work and everything else. Her children were grown. Her husband had died. She still had relatives and everything. She'd go out and buy them. And everybody that she knew almost had everything that they needed. And they said, oh, don't buy me anything. And she said, but if I didn't buy them something, they would be disappointed. So she went out on the last minute shopping for Christmas. Well, she was a Christian. She went to church and everything. And she went in the store and she hurriedly picked up things, this and that, filled her basket full of things that nobody really needed, but it was to make people feel good because it was Christmas. But she didn't really have the spirit of Christmas. You know, the bells ringing and songs and the carols and all this just hadn't affected her at all this year. Well, in front of her in the line, she got in this line, there was about 20 people in the line. This was the last few days before Christmas. And there were two dirty little kids there. Little girl, didn't have her hair combed, her clothes were filthy, they just were walking out of their shoes. And it was cold, they didn't have enough clothes on to really meet the weather where they were at all, she could see. And whoever these children were, they weren't being taken care of very well. And she felt sorry for them to look at these little urchins here. Their mother must not care for them at all to let them go out in public looking like this. Parents don't love these kids, you know, she felt in her heart. Here's an absolute case of child abuse right here, right in front of me. She's thinking all this. Filthy little kid. Socks didn't match. Clothes had holes all over them. And she sat there and she waited and waited and waited. She watched these little kids and they had money in their hand and they counted money and looking around. They had a pair of shoes. Golden house slippers. Gold shoes. They were golden color. House slippers, and they were for a woman. And the little boy and girl, the girl was younger and the boy was a little bit older. And they got up there to the cashier finally. Got up there and they said, here's the shoes and here's the money. And they only had about $3 and something. The shoes were $6 and something. And she said, the cashier says, sweetheart, you don't have enough money for these shoes. And the little girl started crying. Oh, but my mama has to have these shoes. These shoes are for Jesus. These shoes are for Jesus. And she was crying, and the little boy, she said, he said, don't cry, sweetheart. She said, don't cry, sissy. We'll go home and we'll make some more money. We'll come back and get those shoes. She said, but Mama's got to have those shoes. She said, Daddy says Mama won't be here at Christmas. And we've got to have those shoes because my Sunday school teacher tells me the streets in heaven are gold, and these will match the streets in heaven. Because if Mama's with Jesus before Christmas, she'll have these shoes. We got to have these shoes. And that woman started crying, and she pulled out the money she gave to him. Gave the money to pay for the shoes, and she said that was the greatest Christmas present I ever gave, and the greatest Christmas that I ever had. Golden shoes for golden streets. Streets of gold. That's what it's going to be. Streets of gold. Up and above this ungodly, hellish world is taking place down below. At the presence of the Lord, that's when the Lord says, come up here. John. Come on up here. It's time for you to come up. You know, one time Jesus, one of his best friends, he had all of his life, died. His name was that dude that lived down there in Bethany with two sisters. You remember what his name was? What? Lazarus. And he died. And the girls came up there and they were crying and going on, Lord, if you'd have been here, if you'd have just been here, Jesus, if you'd have just been here, Lord, he wouldn't have died. He will raise again, he said. He'll stand again. All of them said, Lord, we know that he'll stand in the resurrection. He said, no, now. He said, girls, you're looking at the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the Lord. And then he cried with a loud voice. He said, Lazarus, come forth. One of these days he's going to cry with a loud voice, and we're going to go forth. And that's what it's talking about right here. This is rapture, people. This episuna goges. We're going to be caught up with him to those streets of glory. Not a cabin in the corner of glory land, but the streets of glory. Streets of gold. Verse 2. Ace. Toe. May. Toxios. Saluthene. Imas. Apple. Tu. Nous. Mayday. Tro. Aste. Mayte. Pulse, Pote, and Estacane, Hey, Camara, Tu, Kiryu. Now, you see the time we're in tonight. My sissy gave this to me. That's my sissy, Martin. I used to call her City when I was little. I remember calling her City. City. Well, she was someplace and got this time for me. And see what's on, who's on there? Well, it's Noah.
Noah, yeah.
Yeah, Noah's Ark up here. See this? There's Noah's Ark and everything else. The Bible says, the Lord said himself, that the second coming of the Lord would be just like the days of Noah. That the Lord's churches would be saying, the Lord is coming, the rapture is coming, and nobody will listen. Eight people got on that ark, and a bunch of little old animals that God called and called out and put on the ark, and God shut the door. The rapture is when God shuts the door on the ark. That's the rapture. Because when God calls us up, only those that are going to be saved or those that are saved will go up. The rest of the people are going to be down on this earth in the middle of a horror movie. Except it's going to be real. It's not going to be make-believe. It's not going to be Cecil B. DeMille. It's not going to be Steven Spielberg or anything like that. It's going to be real stuff. And your loved ones, your children, your grandchildren, your aunts, your uncles, your mamas, your dads, people that are depending upon you to hear the word salvation.
These are our bodies that are raised up, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. We are going to be raptured.
Rapture.
Resurrected. Anastasia. Raised up again.
But the resurrection is where your body is raised, but you come back in the spirit. And the saints return with Christ.
Well,
and
what happens?
Your body's in the air.
Yeah. This is a neat thing. Here we are, right up here. Here's the earth. Here's all the saved people on the earth. And the Lord comes up here, and all the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what the Lord has already said in 1 Thessalonians. The dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Corinthians also, 15th chapter. It said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that have died, those that sleep in Jesus, the bodies look like they're asleep. But the spirits are alive. The souls are alive, and they're up there enjoying glory right now. But they don't have their bodies. Well, the Lord is going to come back with them, and their bodies are going to go up out of the ground. And about the time they get out of the ground, the Bible says, in one flap of the Nazarene, that's what it's going to be between the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of the alive. Because you know what? It's a resurrection. Even the live, those that are alive that are raptured, changed, they got to be resurrected, don't they? You're born the first time to death. You're walking. You ever heard of the night of the living dead? Well, our lives are a whole life of the living dead. We are living dead men because we have to die. We're born to die. But the dead shall rise first. And about the time they get clear of the ground, I think that God is going to change. Going to resurrect the dead ones that are walking. The living dead.
and we'll all be alive forever with the Lord. Then things are going to take place on the earth. And the Lord says here through the Apostle Paul, the day of Jehovah's wrath, just like the Passover. The Lord told Israel that I'm bringing judgment upon the world. Egypt was the type of the world, wasn't it? And he said, you go out and you prepare a lamb. Who did the lamb stand for? Jesus. The lamb was the one that was going to cover their sins and kill that lamb. They took that lamb in their house and they kept that lamb in the house for a week and they made sure it didn't have a spot or a blemish on it. The children played with it and everything. And then, that night, they slit its throat. And they took its blood, they caught it in a basin, and they took a paintbrush, so to speak, and dipped it in this blood and put some on the side of the door and above the door. And who passed over Egypt that night? Who? Who passed over? Who passed over? Who? Jesus passed over. Jehovah passed over. Jehovah passed over Egypt. He said, I shall pass over. Wasn't it an angel? People say that all the time. You hear some of the greatest pastors in America tell you the death angel passed over Egypt because they watched Cecil B. DeMille. In the Exodus. But Jehovah himself passed over Egypt. No flesh shall stand in the glory of God. No ship's flesh shall stand and live in his presence, does it? No man can look upon God without the blood of Jesus Christ. What did those people do? They went in their household and they covered it. And death came to Egypt that night because those that were not covered by the Lamb, it's just like what's going to happen in the last days. When the rapture comes, death is coming over the rest. Those that are covered by the Lamb's blood are going to be taken away. They're going to be protected. But the rest of them are going to be seeing the wrath of Jehovah God.
But the rapture, is that pre? You see it as pre before the
before the tribulation.
The tribulation.
Yeah, right
after
on here.
The tribulation.
Then the tribulation starts.
And after the tribulation, isn't that the destruction?
Then after 7 years tribulation, then the Lord will come back.
So he comes again.
He comes again. That's what we call the real second coming of the Lord. Oh. That's when he comes back, and that's when Israel. He's purified. The tribulation period is for the nation Israel because he's going to get them ready. He's going to spank them up straight during the tribulation period, and then he will be able to use them, and they will glorify God for 1,000 years upon this earth. They will rule and reign for the Lord on this earth.
He will.
What?
He will.
Well, he will rule and reign with his bride in heaven. Israel will be the administrator on the earth. Of course, he will come down with his presence and they will worship him in different times on the earth, but Israel will be leading out in the worship of God for that 1,000 years. But then at the end of that, Satan will be loosed for a short period of time, and
people still follow him.
People will follow him. And remember, there won't be any doubt that there is a God in heaven. There won't be any doubt that sin will cost you, because there's going to be capital punishment during that 1,000 years. People are going to be put to death because they will not serve God, and God will not allow that. It's going to be true faith on this earth and true religion. Because don't be quickly, that's what it means here, don't be quickly shaken from the mind or in your minds. Don't be struck out of your senses, nor don't be disturbed. Neither by spirit. Don't let any spirit tell you or anybody say that they're being led by the Spirit and telling you anything, nor by the speech, nor by a letter as from me that has come the day of the Lord already. The day of Jehovah has not come yet. Now he said, I'm going to tell you some things that's going to happen before the Lord comes in glory at the end of the tribulation period. The Lord is going to gather us up. First of all, he said, why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture is because just exactly what Paul said, we're going to be caught away. We're going to be gathered up together. We're going to be taken up into that synagogue in heaven. That epi-synagoges. All right? We're going to be carried up. And then I'm going to show you what's going to happen on the earth, he says. And here we are at 7 o'clock. Do you want to quit now or do you want to hear just a little bit more? It's up to you.
I'll stay.
You'll stay? You'll stay for one more verse? Okay. Betisimos. Exapatesis. Tara Medina. Propone. A propone, that is. Hote. Eon. Me. Elte. He. Apostasia. Proton. Kai. Apokalipte. Ho. Anthropos. Tase. Anomios. Ho. Huios. Tase. Apolios. Now let's look at this verse and see what it says. Don't let anyone deceive you. That's what it says here. Metis himas apa tese. Don't let anyone lead you out of the beaten path. Don't let anyone lead you out of the footpath. Foot is in this thing. All right? What's the word for foot in Spanish? What?
Pie.
Well, it comes from Greek. It's podos here. It's patia. Parapatia. To lead out of the path. This means to lead from that, away from the from. Ex apat paia. According to a different way. Because not they come first. The first thing that's going to happen is the apostasia, the apostasy, first. And he shall be revealed, the man, the 666 man. The word there is anthropos. The word anthropology means what? The study of mankind. All right? This word anthropos here, is there is going to be a real man come to this earth. There's going to be a real Adamic man. He's going to be the man of lawlessness. The mankind of anomios. Lawlessness. The word law, God gives you the law of God for one thing, is to keep you honest and to keep you happy and to keep you healthy. There's an old saying that a doctor said one time, you are what you eat. Now, God gave the laws of eating and cleanliness and everything in the Bible, the law of spiritual cleanliness and everything to keep you healthy, spiritually and physically. It's good for you. Nothing in the law is not good for you. It's all good for your well-being, okay? Well, this man is a lawless one. One without any laws. How many of you ever heard of the Hell's Angels? The Mad Cats? And the Road Knights? I can't even remember all the names of the motorcycle gangs. And then we have all the different little gangs in different cities. You know, cities have always been a breeding place of sin and rebellion and lawlessness, haven't they? The first great city that we know of in the Bible was the city of Babylon, wasn't it? And God judged that city because it was full of sin. There was another place called Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was five of those cities there around Sodom and Gomorrah. And God destroyed a whole lot of them because of sin. And what is sin? The sin was of greed, gambling, and lying, and cheating, and stealing, and
disobedience, lawlessness. And you know, God always, when God made man and woman, He made a man and a woman to love each other and to be husband and wife. Mankind has always tried to change that, hasn't it? Men want men, women want women. Men want a lot of women, women want a lot of men.
They
don't want to live together. When I pastored, I used to tell my young people, I'd tell them something. I said, you know something? We got laws in the land that say that you have to have a license to be married. But I said, in God's eyes, when you go out and start sleeping around, you're marrying a lot of men or you're marrying a lot of women, because that's the act of marriage. And God is not going to let you off of it. You are responsible for what you do with your body. You're going to answer for it. I don't care what the laws of the land say, you're going to answer to God, because His law is last. So don't start doing something that you're not going to make a commitment with, because it's going to be for a long time. But this man of lawlessness, you know, this man's not even going to like women. He's going to like one thing, and that's his own glory and the glory of his Father, which is Satan. My little girl was watching television the other night and was talking about something about a sign or something about the eschatology of the Bible and all the wickedness and everything that was going to go on and what was going to happen on this earth. And they were trying to stop it from taking place. There's nothing going to stop it, people. It's going to happen. The end times are going to come, just like the days of Noah came. When that door was shut, when God shut that door, on the outside was judgment. On the inside was mercy. On the inside, in the rapture, there is mercy. On the outside, there is wrath. Even the people that believed on the outside of the ark of Noah, guess what happened to them? What happened to all of those on the outside of the ark, even if they did believe when it started raining? They died. And during the tribulation period, even if you do believe, even if you believe in Jesus, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be killed by the man of sin. Everything you have is going to be taken. I don't care if you put up 7 years of food that you can eat and everything. It's not going to do you one bit of good, because He's going to take it from you. You can put your money in silver and gold and pearls and diamonds and rubies, and people are doing that today because they know that money won't be worth anything. Well, I'm going to tell you something, neither is that. Gold's not going to buy you anything either. It's going to be too late, too bad, too sorry. That's the way it is. Now that's where we're going to start next week when we come back right here. We're going to start back at this verse again, and we're going to cross-reference. I got a couple of little things I want to read to you. Thank you for your attention tonight. And we will continue with this horror story next week. Thank you for your attention, and thank you for your endurance, and thank you for being here tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for Your warnings. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for cherishing us like You have and giving us Your Word so we can know what's going on, where we're going. Thank You for being with me tonight as I preach Your Word, that I can remember the things that I needed to and call them to mind and be able to glorify You and Your people. Forgive me where I fail You. Thank You for these people here that are learning Your Word. I thank You for the tapes and the videos and everything that are going all throughout, that people hear these words all over the world. I pray that You touch each and every one of their hearts with the things that they need.